I went to college to become a public school teacher.
And I was a product of public school. My mom was a public school teacher for 30 years.
But when we had our own kids, our perspectives slowly began to change.
Now that we've experienced Christian school for our daughter, we can't imagine doing it any other way. I'm Chris Stigall.
And I'm Christine Stigall. We hope you'll join us with your kids in Making the Leap.
What my husband and I have tried to do is we are homeschoolers. That is what we have chosen for our family. But we try to cheerlead anyone who wants to raise their kids and be hands-on in their education, whatever form that takes. And so sometimes we get so enthusiastic as homeschoolers that it comes across that we think that's the only way to educate your kids. And we don't think so.
Welcome into this latest edition of Making the Leap, and I always love when we get to bring someone new on the show who's launching their own new project. We're watching all kinds of new projects here at the Herzog Foundation. That's exciting for us. So welcome to the family of the Herzog Podcast Network, a brand new show specifically for those of you who we talk to often who homeschool. It's a brand new show called Heart and Soul Homeschool. The first couple of editions are in the can, as we say. You can check it out right now. And Emily Lunt is the host and joins us today. Emily, welcome.
So glad
thank
to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Congratulations on the new show.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be part of the family.
We're thrilled to have you because this is a subject, as you know, and we've talked a lot about. Emily's been friends, you know, full disclosure, we've known Emily for quite some time personally. And one of the things that you know and we know is that when we talk about Christian education, that takes a lot of forms. And that sometimes means in the home, that sometimes means Christian school, sometimes secular is some secular
well,
homeschool, secular school.
Well, and right, and even as we say Christian school, then you separate that and talk about school when we're talking about homeschool, when you've got all kinds of unschooling, pod school, micro school, don't call it school, call it learning. Like there's all kinds of avenues.
And what we learned from our friend Sam is homeschool folks in particular feel a white hot passion, unlike probably anybody else. I will give you guys the gold standard for passion in educating your kids.
Yeah. And sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes that's a bad thing. And so what my husband and I have tried to do is we are homeschoolers. That is what we have chosen for our family. But we try to cheerlead anyone who wants to raise their kids and be hands-on in their education, whatever form that takes. And so sometimes we get so enthusiastic as homeschoolers that it comes across that we think that's the only way to educate your kids. And we don't think so, although it is the best. And if you're thinking about it, I would 100% encourage you to do that. And I'm joking that it is the best, but it is a great way to educate your kids.
But that's the point of your show. That's why you started it.
We love it. And we think if you are interested in it, I want you to feel like every week after you listen to the show, hey, I can do this. I can do it.
That's a big piece of it. Even just this week, I was reading, I'm in Facebook, I'm in the groups, I'm in the conservative women group, I'm in this group, I'm in that group. And in that conservative group, there's a question about, tell me what you know about this school. Tell me about homeschooling. Mm-hmm. Tell me about this, you know that. Mm-hmm. And this week specifically, there was somebody that said, I used to be a teacher. I'm ready to homeschool my kid. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. I'm not sure. And that is, I mean, every week. And I was laughing. I'm like, I know somebody. Like, I actually know a lot of people, but it was hilarious. It was just perfect timing. And the answers came in like, because you've got all these different ways that you can approach it and all these different curriculums, methods, methodology is so varied, I think, with a lot of it. So I'm glad you're here to kind of sift through all of it, that when people ask me, I'm like, don't know.
Sam said once, it's not hard. It's not hard. Right. Parenting your kids is not hard. So I think similarly, you probably wouldn't say it quite like she does. But I think you don't think it's hard either. I think you just got to know how to tap into certain resources.
I mean, I think words, it's just what words we use, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think, I heard Sam say that. and I do actually think that parenting is hard. Maybe another word for it would be challenging. Mm-hmm. It's a challenging time to be a parent. And I think especially for Christian parents, it's especially so because we care so much, right? There's so much at stake. The very souls of our kids are at stake in all of this, in the way we choose to parent. And so while maybe it's not hard in a whiny way,
huge difference.
It's serious. Yeah.
Well, it's thoughtful. Right? It's hard because you want to be intentional.
Right.
Well, and when you say hard, I think we tend to say, well, it's hard, and make that our stopping point. We're not going to try to advance any further. So I think people are using it as a crutch. I think parents, moms, dads, whoever, too hard, too much to figure out. And so I think that is what she meant. But we have to be able to kind of push forward. If we're going to teach our kids anything about resilience and pushing forward, we have to be able to do that as parents to make some of those initial hard decisions.
I think so. And we talk about that in the first episode of Heart and Soul Homeschool. The guest that you'll hear on that is Steve Lambert. And we talk about what is the heart and soul of your homeschool. And so, not to be repetitive, but the heart and soul of my husband and I's homeschool is that we firmly believe that God has entrusted us with our two kids in this specific time and place in history. And we know that they're ours to shepherd. And so because of that, we are compelled to do those hard things and to make the sacrifices on their behalf. And honestly, it requires a lot of us as Christian parents in this day and age.
What I love and I know is coming in that episode because I've heard it. And if you haven't, you should. But what I know is so important is you're pretty candid about the fact that a lot of us, and I'll count myself as one of these parents, sometimes as idealistic as you'd like to be about raising and teaching and rearing your children, sometimes it just exhausts you and you think, oh, I don't want to spend all day with my kids. I just can't handle it. I can't handle it. You do address that because I'm sure you hear that a lot. You know, we have children. We love children. We want to raise a family. But sometimes, oh, man, I'd love to put them on the bus, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everything in our culture is designed to promote that idea that it is hard in that whiny sense, not in the challenging sense, that we deserve me time. I think especially for moms, you know, everything. If you watch TV for 5 minutes, you're going to see 10 commercials that are saying, you know, you deserve a little you time. You deserve. And I think while those things are true, and we all do need a break. And I'm not saying I'll raise my hand and let my mom take my kids anytime she wants to. Those breaks are good and life-giving. But we have to keep focused on what are we really here for. And it's not about us. And it is about our kids, really.
Well, and, you know, again, I listen to that and I think I personally struggle sometimes with the bus ride. It's my bus.
You are the bus, right?
It's my, right. And I think this is 2 hours of my day every day. And most of the time, I'm pretty positive and pretty good about it because it's intentional time that I have as I'm taking our daughter back and forth with the weather and the traffic and all, you know, whatever. But once in a while, I just think, whew, this is a lot. And I think homeschooling has that same mindset for some people. And you it is a mindset. And I think it is that we were just talking about spiritual warfare a little bit earlier. I think that is something that gets in the back of people's heads where, oh, I'm giving up this time. When in reality, for homeschooling, you're getting so much more. You are giving up things. You are sacrificing, but you're getting so much more. And so it is that commitment piece. But like you said, knowing your priorities and what's your mission, what's your design for what you're doing.
And time is one of the biggest gifts of homeschooling. Is, you know, we aren't rushing out of the house in the morning. It is okay to linger over breakfast if those conversations are happening. And I find myself, you know, when I start to feel a little overwhelmed by it or, you know, it is me all the time because it is. I think the Lord is really faithful to remind me at certain points that it's worth it. You know, my daughter came home from her homeschool day. She goes one day a week to an enrichment program, and she came home with some big questions. And she had heard that sometimes two girls get married, and how could that happen? And she had big questions about her faith. And I just found myself thinking, like, man, never in a million years did I think I was going to be having this conversation with my seven-year-old after she had been at a homeschool day all week, you know, in the car. But I just praise God that I was the one who was there. And that she wasn't with someone else who might have told her something that
different.
Isn't true. And so I think we have to remember that everything is important. Every conversation, all of those answering why for a million times, it all makes a life, right?
Let me be personal for a minute. And you can tell me to butt out if you don't want to answer it. But I am fascinated by this because as I sit here and listen, one of the things that I know that we talk a lot about with friends of ours is even when you're not homeschooling, raising a family, raising kids, activities, go, 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 busy all the time. Oftentimes, couples will spend so much time focused on their kids, they fail to spend time together because it's just all consuming. I would assume homeschool is that on steroids, is it not? And so do you have to be very intentional with your husband about how you two spend time together without the homeschool factor.
Yeah, we do, because it does kind of creep in all the time. And my husband happens to work from home. We were a work from home family before COVID. And so we were doing that before it was even a thing. And so I think that was kind of an advantage to us, because we kind of knew that dynamic a little bit. But I am a 7 o'clock kids that are in their rooms kind of a mom, because we have all of that. And some of my friends are like, oh my goodness, how do you do that? But we're together all day. And so we feel like it's fine for them to read books or listen to audiobooks or whatever that is in their rooms, so that we do have to be intentional.
Would that be different if he worked outside of the home, do you think?
I don't know. By 7 o'clock, I'm done.
Yeah.
But no, but I do think that you have to make allowances for that. But for us, that's what works.
But
to carve out that intentional time.
Mm-hmm. But that's a really good, I guess I would say, something to consider. That's where I'm kind of going with this, is that that's a piece to consider. Where is your husband's workspace? Is it at home? Is it not? What are some other considerations for families that you would say, because I think the marriage has to be first, in my opinion. I mean, I think you've got to have,
and I think that's in any marriage, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Oh, even if you're absolutely not homeschooling.
Absolutely.
You know, we have to take our marriages first.
So what else then with homeschooling would you say would be a good, or would you say would be some of the big key ideas to consider as we, you know, are introducing this to people in the audience who maybe don't know, you know, time with your spouse, time for you, those are big. Mm-hmm. What else would you say is something that has to be really thought out?
Yeah, there are so many. Yeah, there are so many things. It introduces a really unique dynamic into your home. And actually, to plug episode 2, I talked to Dr. Danny Huerta from Focus on the Family. He's the director of parenting and youth there. And we actually talk about a lot of these things and what it's like to introduce these dynamics, because a lot of times it happens all at once. You know, you pull your kids out of school and mom steps away from a job and kids are missing their friends and your finances might be different.
Because so there's
you
four don't topics
have that
right there.
Right there. I mean, it's huge. And so listen, next week you'll want to listen, because we talk about how you take those in chunks and address them. But to your point, Christine, there are so much. And I know for us, one of the big dynamics is that, you know, I gave up my career to be a stay-at-home mom and to homeschool, and it's totally worth it. But that's a significant issue for some people. And I think just being together all the time is really great, and it's also really hard.
Daunting. As a professional, you had, as you say, quite an extensive resume in a professional life. This is a fascinating topic for people that come from the professional world and then decide to have children. Did you know prior to having children this was going to be your course of action in raising the kids and teaching them at home, or did you come around to it? And what went into that, I guess? Did you intentionally have children knowing you were going to teach them at home?
Not teach them at home, but I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so I lived and worked in Washington, D.C. As a political appointee for 7 years. And so I knew, though, that I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so there came a point in my career where, you know, when you're in D.C., everyone goes to law school. And so I went down that path. I took the LSAT. I was in the process of visiting schools. And I looked at the finances of it, and I, you know, realized that if I went $150,000 in debt to earn this law degree, that the chances of me getting to be a stay-at-home mom, let alone in DC, were going to be slim. And so I made the decision not to do that. And about the same time, I realized that I really missed being close to my family. And so I moved closer to home so that I could, you know, have regular interaction with my parents and my grandparents and all of those things that make a life, because I realized that if I did want to have a family, that I wanted to raise them near my family, because that had been such an important part. And so I was really blessed that the last job I had in DC, it was a private sector job. And so I was able to do that from home.
Okay.
And then I met my husband and all of that unfolded. And so I went into motherhood knowing that I wanted to stay home. But then the homeschool thing kind of layered on after that.
Which is something that people need to think about. And I know you and I had a conversation about an article that you had sent about women specifically, but I think all people in that, you know, that 18, 19, 20-year-old range need to, should be really thinking, what's your long-term plan? You know, what's your long-term goal? I never intended to stay home with my kids. That just was not something that was in either of our brains until all of a sudden we had 3 kids under the age of 3 and a half. And I was like, well, this is not working. And that began a massive shift for me in terms of walking from a career that I really enjoyed mm-hmm. and moving into this whole new place as a stay-at-home parent. And so I think if I had thought about that sooner and really looked at the ramifications, as I think parents that are choosing homeschooling should do, I think those are important conversations to have. What's the long, you know, the end goal, basically. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of the goals of Stan Herzog, the late Stan Herzog, who's built this entire foundation and the reason we all do shows, is to expand and become the catalyst for Christian education wherever that's found. So within the walls of this place, the decision was to expand and reach out to those in the homeschool community with what we call HF School Box. Mm-hmm. I know you'll explore that in future shows. But one of the things that comes up all the time, and we've talked about this offline, but I'd love for you to talk about it, is what has seemed to be at times a hostility between Christian school, that is organized Christian school, mm-hmm. and homeschool. I know you don't really see a huge difference in goals, just it's a different method. I don't want to put words in your mouth, though, so maybe let's talk about that.
No, I think it's important as Christian people. And Christine, what you were just saying about thinking ahead, you know, Jared, my husband, and I, we actually talk about you guys quite frequently because your kids are older. And again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you have a college student mm-hmm. and two high schoolers right now. And so you guys were pretty far into this journey when all of this education mm-hmm. kind of blew up and mm-hmm. it's all been laid bare in the last few years, right? It's undeniable that as Christians, we can't just keep bopping along mm-hmm. in this status quo where we just send our kids off to the public school without thinking about it. And so my husband and I talk all the time how thankful we are that we have younger kids and we're older parents, right? So we're the oldies, we're 40. I'll just throw it out there. And so it's interesting because we have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. And so, you know, our peer group as parents, sometimes they're 10 to 15 years younger than us. And yeah. It's like we're in a whole nother generation because we mm-hmm. are. But we have the advantage of seeing the situation for what it is, right? And so we have what I think is a huge advantage of planning ahead. And yes. so as Christian parents, and this is something that I've kind of been working on, I'll try it out on you guys, but we've been talking about school choice as a hot topic right now. Mm-hmm. The ultimate school choice really starts way before you have kids, right? Yep. And those decisions that you think through, maybe even before you're married, you know, maybe Christian people can start thinking about instead of spending $50,000 on a wedding, maybe we tuck that away so mm-hmm. that we can give ourselves choice when we have kids to send them to a private Christian school mm-hmm. or to have our finances in line so that, you know, one or the other can stay home to homeschool. You know, playing that long game as Christian parents is an advantage. And I appreciate the Herzog Foundation being a catalyst in that area, encouraging all forms of Christian education.
We never, to your point, and I'll just be honest, we never, as young married people right. in our 20s, for heaven's sakes, it never occurred to us to stop and consider how we would educate our kids.
Right.
Never. Only now in our 40s. And I mean, if I had it to do all over again, if I could hit rewind, of course I'd do it differently. I wondered the young people that you encounter with children your age that are, you know, what, a decade or more mm-hmm. younger than you? Mm-hmm. Do you notice amongst younger parents that they are thinking differently, they are thinking about it, or is it still just sort of a rinse and repeat, send them on the school bus kind of day?
I think there's some of both, but I'm really encouraged because in our church, mm-hmm. there are lots of young couples who are realizing that maybe we shouldn't just do what has been done. Maybe we should look at different options.
At least stop and consider. I think that's a big piece yes. of it. At least just think for a minute.
Yeah. And right. that's why I think what Herzog Foundation is doing, encouraging all forms of it, because there's not a one size fits mm-hmm. all. You know, homeschooling isn't for everyone. Private Christian school isn't for everyone. But as we continue to see what's going on in our public school system, for Christian people, we need to be thinking of the alternatives, whatever those are.
So what you just said, you said homeschool isn't for everyone. Mm-hmm. But I would guess you would also say anybody can homeschool, right?
Absolutely.
Like, so there's a difference there. I wonder if you could mm-hmm. talk a little bit about that, a little bit identify kind of what you mean by that and then what you, because, you know, I think we say things that sometimes we think we have to say a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think there are very few people homeschool isn't for, but we all have logistics we have to deal with. Right. So I understand the picture gets bigger. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this is a hot button issue because homeschoolers generally want you to homeschool too. And it's a very passionate thing, which is what makes homeschooling so great. But it also can be off-putting. And even sometimes I've had moms, you know, talk to me, I think homeschool is great. And they've been so intense that I'm like, whoa, this is intense. So we don't want to scare anybody off. But I do think that culturally and there are a lot of forces that would make you think that you can't do it, that you're not qualified. We live in a culture that is so focused on the experts and you need an expert for this and advice for that. When really, I have learned over the last few years and know just deep in my soul that God has given us our kids and He gives us special grace for our kids, not for your kids. Mm-hmm. I probably couldn't homeschool your kids and you probably couldn't homeschool mine, but it is truly amazing how the Lord will give you special insight and wisdom and grace for your kids. And then there are the practical things that people feel ill-equipped to just teach their kids. And when you really stop, you know, you were saying Sam Sorbo says this so beautifully, and she actually was one of the, I was watching her on a talk show when I had my little baby, and she says this often, and I won't say it as well, good as well as she does, but the host of this talk show was saying, oh, I could never teach my kids at home. And she looked him in the eye and she said, well, why would you want to send them to the same sorry system that produced the likes of you? And I was like, you know, that's true, though. I mean, that is very Sam. Yep. But isn't that true? That if we feel ill-equipped to teach our kindergartner or our third grader, wow.
What does that say?
Why would we? What does that say about our own education? And so I think parents should feel confident, and not confident because, as our culture would say, you know, you are enough and all the throw pillows that say that. But because when we rely on Christ to guide us, like, we really are enough for our kids because He's given them to us.
It's a really good point. Just, you know, if we, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of days that if I were homeschooling, I'd be like, here you go, you can take my kids. But that's a really, I think, often overlooked point, is that comparison game, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in the homeschooling world, I would guess that you see what this person's doing and this person's doing, and you think, well, I can't do that. But that's the point. You don't have to. You have to focus on your kids and what's best for them, not what's best for Emily's kids, you know, or anybody else's. And I hope that that is definitely a message that, and same for Christian school, deciding, am I going to go to the small 10-person school? Yes. Do I want to send them to the big 500-person school? I don't need to worry about the other people. I need to think about me. I need to think about us, and I need to think about our family. Those are the three components.
Yeah. Is there pressure amongst homeschool parents to look across the street and see the way the other homeschool family is doing it? And maybe I'm screwing up. Maybe I should do it more the way they're doing it. Is there that? Does that
for
exist?
Sure. Yeah. And one example that Jared, my husband, and I were just talking about and kind of laughing about the other day is a lot of homeschool families are big into Latin. And I, you know, it's part of the classical model of education. And I am not knocking it. I think the classical education model is beautiful. It wouldn't work for us. We frankly are not invested enough in everything about that to do it well. But sometimes you look at what other people's kids, you know, and they're doing Latin and they're sitting around drinking tea together and reading Shakespeare. And we don't do that. Like, we sit around and we drink hot chocolate and read the Boxcar Children books or, you know, but I have really had to set aside that pressure and just say, you know what? We're a Boxcar Children family, and that's what we do, and that will be our family culture and our family identity rather than – and I am not knocking any of it. I think it's – the diversity within homeschooling is incredible. It's amazing.
Do you walk out where you're going? You mentioned your kids, you know, young, elementary school age right now. Do you talk much about, I'm going to do this straight through their senior year, or we're just taking it year by year? Will you explore that on the show, I'm sure, at some
point? Yeah, we'll get into that. And I'm going to have my husband come on, and we're going to talk about that because I think that's something that is a really common concern and sometimes can cause parents to not even start because they just can't envision what high school will look like. I think sports are a big factor in that. And I think, you know, kind of just when you really listen to parents, it's the extracurriculars, the community aspect of school that is so important. And so I would say we started out and just thinking we'll just give it a try and see how it goes. And at one point, I remember my husband saying, to someone, but we'll send them to high school. We'll probably send them to public high school. And I was kind of like, what? We haven't talked about that. But now, that was 3 years ago. And now I think if you asked him, he would say, oh my goodness, never. And so we're looking forward to those ideas. We're kind of starting to brainstorm. How can we set up our lives so that when our kids are high school age, they might be able to start their own business, or we could serve as a sort of incubator in the community for all of these kids who are coming through who may not even go to college, you know, with the things that are going. Mm-hmm. I think the education landscape is changing so quickly that we literally just take it year by year, day by day. And I think it's going to require a lot of prayer and a lot of discernment and a lot of just kind of being quick on our feet to react to the conditions around us, to just follow where we're being led with our kids, because we can't assume anything at this point.
I think that's a really good mindset for families to think about, is that, yes, I think you have to have your long plan, but I also think you have to know that you might need to pivot at times, no matter where you are with your decision about school. And that is something that I think to let go of for families is really hard. I mean, even, you know, I just had a conversation the other day with our daughter, and she's happy where she is. She likes the school she's at, but she does not like school, though. So she likes the people, and she likes the community. And she said, I don't know, Mom. I've seen a lot of homeschool families. I see it, you know, I talk to them, and I just think, man, if I could get this done in 4 hours instead of 6 to 7. And so I said, instead of saying, like, oh, we're not doing that, my answer was, well, then we'll see, right? Like, we'll see. I'm no longer sitting in a place, and I think homeschool families, if you're thinking this through, can't sit in a place of all or nothing anymore, that we have to be able to look at the kid and look at their, look at their makeup and look at your family before you say, no, we're in this for, you know, I want her to finish there. But if she doesn't, she doesn't. And I will have to let go of a few things. But if that's best.
Well,
best.
Yeah, the perspective, Emily, is one, you know, she talks about that conversation. I had a conversation with our daughter that similarly, she said, you know, that as the school grows, there's concern that culturally there will be changes that aren't necessarily the best for a Christian environment. Neither here nor there. But my point was, I said to her in answer, I said, well, you know, there are a lot of people who homeschool who don't really think that Christian school is any better functionally than a public school. And she was very puzzled at that, but had never really walked it out. I said, there are people, and she thinks that she's done something radical by leaving public school and going to a Christian school.
Well, she has, right?
She has.
She has.
But explaining to her that homeschool folks would look at what she's doing even now and say, not quite.
Not enough.
That's not quite it yet. You know, there are so many options, is what we've learned doing this show.
So many. And I even think about it just in the context of my little boy, because he's 4 and he's a boy's boy, which we're so thankful for. We wouldn't want anymore. But I cannot envision him in a year and a half, sitting in a classroom, raising his hand to speak, having to ask to get a drink, having to all of those things. I just can't envision that for him. And so I think a lot of times when you hear homeschoolers say things like that about Christian school, it's maybe just that there has to be classroom management. There has to be some sort of institutional things put in place.
Yep.
And that's the reality.
And the very basis of homeschooling is to get away from institutionalizing education for the kids. Fair?
Right. I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not individual. It's not really a knock at the goal of Christian school, but you just look at the formation of a school, and it inevitably requires a structure, a framework that homeschoolers do not want.
Yeah. And I hate, though, I will just say, I hate it when people in the homeschool community knock traditional public school. And I hate it when Christian school people, you know, knock homeschool, because you guys, we are all in this together, right? And my main thing right now is just we need to do the best for our kids. And it's interesting because at our church last summer over VBS, I hosted an event for parents where we brought parents together, and every night of the week while their kids were learning in VBS, we tackled some of these really tough topics, and education was one of them. And we talked about everything from the gender issue. I mean, we tackled some tough stuff. And education night was the night that got everyone a little tense, no matter who you were at. And people were literally saying, you know, I'm team public school, I'm team homeschool, I'm team Christian school. And it was really interesting to watch that even in this place where we're all part of the body of Christ and all want the best for our kids, we still just naturally divide into teams. And we just kind of had to say, hey, we're team best for our kids and kind of
and team Jesus. Like, we need to be thinking of where's that ultimate goal in terms of salvation. Well, and so I think you have to look at all that.
Isn't it rooted in all of our desires? We just have this innate desire to feel like we're doing well, and we need other people doing what we're doing to feel like we're doing it right.
For sure.
And like validate. Isn't that what it all is? Like, keeping up with the Joneses.
Like, it's your human tendency when we need to be setting that.
I need Emily to be teaching her kids the same way we teach our kids. That way we know that we're doing it the right way.
Right. Yeah.
Is that it?
We're kind of herd animals, right? Yeah. It goes right down to it. We like to travel in a pack.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
I'm curious where you are thinking of going with your episodes upcoming, obviously. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but there's so much that I think you can be talking about. What are some of your like big goal, you know, like big thoughts or projections or ideas, topics, guests that you are excited to look forward to?
And what do you hope people will come away from listening to it as well?
Yeah. So what this will not be is a how-to homeschool. Okay. So there are so many great resources. If you want to know how to choose a curriculum, if you want to know, you know, how to structure your day, those kind of things.
So I should not send my Facebook people your way.
You're a source of encouragement, though.
I want to encourage you to jump in, that you can do it. And so there are so many heart issues, Christine, I would say, are the ones that I would like to address.
Agreed.
And those big hesitations that people have.
Because once those are taken care of or right? Like, I think some of the step one, step two, choose the, that
it
maybe
kind of
falls
into
place.
Yeah. And we even talk about that in episode one, and I hope you'll listen because we talk about that, you know, that the big why, the heart and soul behind your homeschool, whatever that is for you and for Christian people, there are going to be strong ties to your faith in that big why, because otherwise why bother, right? Mm-hmm. If there isn't that this is why we're doing what we're doing, why we're making the sacrifices, why we are spending 24 hours a day with your kids, all of those things that are involved in it. If you don't have that big why, there's no point. And so when you figure out what the heart and soul of your homeschool is, then a lot of those, how do I choose a curriculum, how really falls into place.
Mm-hmm. And so going forward then, what would be like your... I guess I would say, what is your heart telling you then for some of the topics, setting aside the how-tos, what are some of the other areas that you will focus on?
So there is so much noise right now, right? Everybody wants to be an influencer. Everybody wants to have a platform. And so what I hope to do in the Heart and Soul Homeschool podcast is kind of be like a big sister or an encouraging friend who fast tracks you to people of substance who have not just knowledge to impart to you, but true wisdom and biblical wisdom. And so I have people who have encouraged me along the way. And since I found out that I was going to be doing this podcast, people have been so kind to agree to come on and talk about those issues, you know, that really do get down to the heart and soul of it. And so I think we're going to look at the overarching broad themes, and then those little pieces that seem overwhelming will seem less overwhelming because you've got your why in place.
It's going to be great.
I have no doubt it will be amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic. And it's such a great resource. Mm-hmm. And I hope now that you've heard about this show, if that's been on your heart, you know, we've tried to address it a little bit, but
And we probably won't do as much. I feel like we'll probably move from even the little bits that we've talked about it, right? Like,
well, yeah, that'll be Emily's forte now. But we, you know, while we've waded into it, we know and have known that there is a, I don't mean to speak about it negatively, but there is a division of Christian ed or non-traditional education, whatever you want to call it, that we're just not, as you said, our kids are older. If we hit rewind and did it all over again, maybe we'd be where you are. Right. But that's the reason you're here, is I hope, and I know you have a love for young families, people that are literally just thinking about or have these toddlers. You once said to me, and I love the way she said it, you guys are talking about making the leap. I'd really like to talk to people pre-leap.
Yeah.
I liked that. That's the point.
Yeah. I mean, really if we can catch those young families and start thinking about it like I said before, like maybe even before you get married, right, before you have mm-hmm. your kids, I think it's so important. And so that would really be my passion and these issues of the heart of homeschooling or where it's at for me.
Well, we'll pray for you. Yeah, thank you. And absolutely. I know that there will be a lot of folks pulling for you and praying for you. And we wish you and your husband, Jared, and all your future guests, I hope you'll check it out. The Heart and Soul Homeschool Podcast, a brand new member of the Herzog Foundation podcast family. And first episode out. You're doing it every week, right?
Yep. It'll be weekly on Tuesdays.
Awesome.
Every Tuesday. So, yep. Well, congratulations, Emily. Welcome
Thanks.
Aboard.
Thanks for the warm welcome.
Thank you.
And that will do it for this week's edition of Making the Leap. Hope you'll give this a 5-star review, a written review if you're so inclined. Check us out on social media, and we'll be back with you next week right here.
Making the Leap is a podcast presentation courtesy of the Herzog Foundation. We'd love your feedback by rating us and commenting on the show.
And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Making the Leap.